Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. On these programs, you will be able to follow our expository study of the authorized King James Version as we read verse by verse through books and occasionally tackle important topics for the purpose of helping Bible believers gain a thorough and accurate understanding of God's Word. We now invite you to join us in our study.
1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Read it with me. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. It's as though not just the world is ready for the Antichrist, but the church and the Christian bookstores. I go in the bookstores, there's very little of any substance there. And the radio, if you're not singing about the God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who shed His blood, who died on the cross, who was buried and rose again, if you're not specifying who you're singing about, then your songs are going to fit perfectly to the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And the Bible says not just will we see a preparation in the minds of the people and the hearts of the people, but it says that Antichrist shall come, meaning singular. There's coming one Antichrist. But he says, even now, there are many Antichrists. Now look at verse 22 in this same chapter. Just go down a few verses and read that with me. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So it says that those who deny that Jesus is the Christ, that person is Antichrist. That means that they are in the spirit of Antichrist and they are doing exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. For example, Oprah Winfrey on her TV program has denied that Jesus is the Christ. And anybody, it says, you read it again there, verse 22, if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, not that you deny He's a Christ, because Oprah will tell you He's a Christ. She denies He's the Christ.
But anyway, it talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being. And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there could possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
And you say there isn't only one way. There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because
a
you
of
say
in
there
the
isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
Now, here's some. Get your toes out there so I can just step on them real good. We have heard some of the most famous people in Christianity deny this. Because if you deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you're denying that He's the Christ. And if you hear anybody, I don't care who it is, preacher, teacher, singer, actor, author, doesn't matter. If they deny that Jesus is the Christ, you as a Christian should be offended, appalled, and you should turn them off and never turn them on again. So we have this spirit of Antichrist, and we see this denial that Jesus is the Christ. And it's important to understand that the word anti in front of Christ means one of two things. It's actually a dual meaning to the word. One is that it's anti, meaning it's against. But another word of anti is counterfeit. So you have someone who has either put himself in opposition to and against Christ, that's Antichrist, but you also have people who claim to be Christ in place of Christ, the counterfeit. That, of course, when the Antichrist shows up, he'll fulfill both of those roles. He'll be against Christ, and he'll claim to be the Christ. Now, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24, so let's turn there. And in verses 4 to 6, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name." That means they're coming in the name of Jesus. "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And he goes on to say, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." This is to take place, and has been taking place, and is taking place to a greater degree right now, verse 5, than at any other time in history. Of course, there's one that's going to come, and he's going to stand in the temple, and he's going to declare himself to be God in the temple. So that's one of the reasons why we teach that the temple is going to be rebuilt. And the fact that the Jews are there in the land, they now are in control of Jerusalem, preparing to build the temple. They think they're building the temple in preparation for the Messiah. They're actually building a tribulation temple that will be in preparation for the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. In Revelation 13, we have a description of this Antichrist. In Revelation 13, beginning in verse 11, says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him." This is the false prophet. "And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." So you're seeing a couple of things here. This Antichrist, when he does appear, he'll be worshipped, and he will have a deadly wound that'll be healed. It just makes sense. It just sounds like somebody's tried to assassinate him. And in verse 14, it says, or verse 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." This is the false prophet. And by doing these wonders, then he will then pull people into worship of the Antichrist. And in verse 14 says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." See? "Saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." So if we take it literally, and I believe we should, somebody's going to try to take a sword and kill the Antichrist. It'll be a deadly wound, but the false prophet will heal him. And in verse 15 says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So you're either going to convert or die. And verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, which is 666. Now, this one who is going to come, he's going to be worshipped as the Christ. And there's a lot more to be studied and said about the Antichrist. But with that, think of the fact that this one is going to come, and everybody in the world except for those small remnant groups are going to worship and adore him. Now, I am in danger of someone going out and saying that Greg's telling everybody that Obama's the Antichrist. I'm not saying Obama's the Antichrist, but the way an unknown senator from Illinois steps up and starts talking like a black preacher and wooing the crowd, he's a good-looking young guy, Ivy League educated, and people without knowing a thing about him, not even allowed to read the papers he wrote while he was at, was it Yale? Or I think it was Yale or Harvard. Which was it? One of those Ivy League schools. Couldn't even read what he wrote. They sealed his documents so you couldn't read it. if you did read his books, The Audacity of Hope, and then there's another one, and quoted him, then you were a bigot, even though it was his words. And it was like, outside of the core conservative independents in this country, it was like you were just a bigot for questioning this guy. And you see that, and how he took the presidency, the most powerful position in the world, without a lot of people being satisfied that he's even a natural-born citizen, and with no one knowing anything about him and not allowed to even read up on him. That is just evidence to me that this world is ripe and ready for the Antichrist. It comes, once you start to study the situation around the world, it comes to light that the whole world is not, they're all looking for this Antichrist. They're hoping for him. They want him to arrive. Now, they wouldn't call him Antichrist, but they are all looking for one man to come on the stage. And I couldn't even put all the stuff I found. If you add up the people who are into the New Age movement, into Hinduism and Buddhism and the other occult religions, they are all actively joining together, invoking the spirit of the Christ and praying for this reincarnation, they believe, of the Christ to appear and to bring world peace.
Oh, dear.
And if you watch for it, you're going to see bumper stickers. I've seen them where they, one I read said, chant for peace. Another one said, meditate for peace. And all these, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about, they believe that if enough of us in the world would join together and just chant and meditate on peace, that this spirit of the Christ would then appear in the form of a man and bring peace. So when the Antichrist does appear, that's what they're going to believe they've got. And this is going on in all those different religions. They believe that it's a reincarnation of the Christ spirit, but they believe that Confucius and Buddha and Jesus and Muhammad, they were all reincarnations of this same spirit of the Christ. And that we are now looking for the final Christ who will bring in world peace. We watched this past week a show on History Channel called The Nostradamus Effect. I don't recommend it. And this is on the History Channel, and they're teaching that Nostradamus predicted three antichrists. The first was Napoleon, the second was Hitler, and now they're watching and waiting for the third. All the followers of Nostradamus and folks into this occultism and everything else. Reverend Sun Myung Moon. You ever heard of the Moonies? But he claims to be Jesus. And that his plan is that if everybody just follow him, then he'll fix you up with the right person and he'll intermix all the races that way, and then eventually we'll all become one race and there'll be peace. That's the Mooney plan for salvation. And Moon says he's the Christ. And then you had David Koresh. Koresh claimed to be God and he claimed to be Jesus and all that. There's how many of you heard this Benjamin Krame, who is claiming that the Christ is named, he calls him Lord Maitreya. You heard of that? Well, there are hundreds of millions of people who have joined this movement, believing it's from all those people I referred to earlier that are chanting for peace and everything. Well, hundreds of millions have actually signed on, literally, to this movement calling forth the Lord Maitreya. He has been taking out full-page ads for years in the New York Times, the USA Today, announcing the presence of this Lord Maitreya who's about to appear and bring world peace. That Messages from Heaven is a movie about Mary worship. But, Deb, you've seen it. I don't know if anybody else has seen it. But this shows that not only within Roman Catholicism, but within the Orthodox, within the Protestant churches, within Islam and within the New Age, all those groups I've just mentioned, they all are taking part in Mary worship. And they are looking for apparitions. And I believe, from what I'm reading, that they are prepared that if Satan can bring about a false apparition, which all of them are false, and this Mary woman that isn't the true Mary, but this Mary apparition tells these people that this is my son, pointing to the Antichrist. They'll follow her. They'll follow her advice. They'll start to worship this Antichrist. So all over the world, you take the true Christians and rapture them out of here, and you pretty much got it sized up. Speaking of Mary, that if she refers to, say, a pope as the Christ, that won't be anything new. How many of you are aware that the pope claims to be Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
The pope already claims to be Jesus, and it is official Roman Catholic doctrine that he is God on earth. And so when this apparition of Mary and this New Age thing, they all point to a pope and say he's the Antichrist, or he's the Christ, that's not far-fetched. It's already laid in Roman Catholic dogma.
Jesus said, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Yet the popes took to themselves the name Holy Father, along with all claims of authority that might be assumed by such a title. Pope Innocent III, who fathered the Inquisition, said, "The Pope holdeth place on earth not simply of a man, but of the true God." Meanwhile, Pope Nicholas said of himself, "I am in all and above all, so that God himself and I, the Vicar of God, hath both one consistory, and I am able to do almost all that God can do. I then, being above all, seem by this reason to be above all gods." Yet despite these biblical warnings, the popes repeatedly claimed they were equal to and above God, and were even called by Catholics our Lord God, the Pope. The Lateran Council, while addressing Pope Julius II, said to him, "Take care that we lose not that salvation, that life and breath which thou hast given us. For thou art shepherd, thou art physician, thou art governor, thou art husbandman, thou finally art another God on earth." In the 19th century, Cardinal Giuseppe Sarto, who would later become Pope Pius X, declared, "The Pope is not simply the representative of Jesus Christ. On the contrary, he is Jesus Christ himself, under the veil of the flesh. Does the Pope speak? It is Jesus Christ who is speaking. Hence, when anyone speaks of the Pope, it is not necessary to examine, but to obey. Jesus said of himself, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.'" Yet Pope Pius IX blasphemously declared, "I alone am the successor of the apostles, the vicar of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life." The popes have not only made claims to be God, but have insisted that salvation itself depends directly upon obedience to them. Pope Boniface VIII said, "We declare, say, define, and pronounce that it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of every human creature to be subject to the Roman Pontiff." Pope Clement VI said, "No man outside obedience to the Pope of Rome can ultimately be saved. All who have raised themselves against the faith of the Roman Church and died in final impenitence have been damned and gone down to hell." Even in modern times, Pope John XXIII in 1958 declared, "Into this fold of Jesus Christ no man may enter unless he be led by the Sovereign Pontiff, and only if they be united to him can men be saved." In 1984, Pope John Paul II was quoted as saying, "Don't go to God for forgiveness of sins, come to me." The quote was based on a Los Angeles Times article which reported, rebutting a belief widely shared by Protestants and a growing number of Roman Catholics, Pope John Paul II dismissed the widespread idea that one can obtain forgiveness directly from God. Furthermore, according to traditional Catholicism, obedience to the papacy is said to be required, no matter how dreadful the Pope might be. Catherine Siena, one of the patron saints of Italy, whose mummified head is still preserved in Rome today, said, "Even if the Pope were Satan incarnate, we ought not to raise up our heads against him, but calmly lie down to rest in his bosom. He who rebels against our Father is condemned to death, for that which we do to him, we do to Christ. We honor Christ if we honor the Pope."
You know, what's really strange is that I've done this with Catholic friends. I've quoted the popes and quoted the Council of Trent and told them, I said, "There's this weird religion I've been reading about." I said, "Listen to this." And I don't tell them it's Catholic. And they're like, "That's nuts. That's stupid. Who would believe that?" I said, "Well, aren't you Catholic?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, that's what I'm reading." And they would just look at, you know, they'd get mad and then they're not speak to me. But they didn't change the fact that they just admitted that their religion is based on nonsense. So not only do we need to pray for all of our Catholic friends and relatives because of that, but that's just to show you this convergence that you already have a religion whose head claims to be Jesus on earth, which is blasphemy, and that's an antichrist. And every pope who's ever sat in the Vatican has been an antichrist, because every one of them have claimed to be Christ on earth. So biblically, they're antichrist. Now, the other last part of this convergence that I'll finish on, although we can say a lot more, and that is when it comes to Islam. And in Islam, there is also this calling forth going on. An increasing number of Muslims are now praying for the Mahdi. He's called the 12th Imam. Now, this president of Iran has probably been the most famous of all these Mahdavis, they call them, who are looking for this Mahdi to come and to be this 12th Imam. Everything they believe about this 12th Imam is almost exactly what we expect the Antichrist to be. But they think it's a good thing because he's supposed to be conquering the world for Islam. He says about this 12th Imam, quote, "He is a special ruler who ranks just below the Prophet Muhammad. The Mahdi is the restorer of Islam and justice who will rule just before the end of the world. He is a military figure who leads the Islamic armies in conquering the entire world." Now, this fits the model of the war that is said to happen that we studied a few weeks ago. We put it on the radio and everything on Ezekiel 38. That it'll be an Islamic unification of Persia and Russia and those Soviet bloc countries with the Stan on the end from Islam, who will join together in an effort to destroy Israel. And this Ahmadinejad believes that this is kind of the background. It's kind of weird. He believes that this Mahdi, the 12th Imam, was Muhammad ibn Hassan. He was a direct descendant from Muhammad. And he was to be the 12th Imam, but he lived in the 9th century, and when he was only 5 years old, he fell into a well. And the superstition, instead of, obviously he died, but what they came up with was that he was just placed in concealment, and at the end of time, he will emerge as the Mahdi, and that he will then conquer the world for Islam. And just in September 2005, Ahmadinejad stood in New York City in the United Nations. And he called forth for this Mahdi. And his prayer was exactly, quote, "O mighty Lord, I pray to you to hasten the emergence of your promised one, that perfect and pure human being, the one that will fill this world with justice and peace," end quote. And all that comes from John McTernan's book, As America Has Done to Israel, pages 238 and 239. Now, I want to end on a biblical note. This shouldn't concern us as far as getting all scared and everything. This is to be informed. I hope no one here wants to be what I call a Hosea 4:6 Christian. Do you know what Hosea 4:6 says? It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And a lot of Christians want to be Hosea 4:6 Christians. They don't want the knowledge. I've joked about making up t-shirts. You know, I'm a Hosea 4:6. I'll be like the next WWJD. You know, I'll start my own movement here. I'm a Hosea 4:6 Christian, and on the back says, "Pray for me." You know. Well, let's close by looking at Revelation chapter 19. The good thing about being a Christian, not only are you saved and you know the truth, and you're not a Hosea 4:6 Christian, but you know how it ends. We're already told how it ends. And in chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse," that's Jesus, "and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Mm-hmm. So this Mahdi, Lord Matriarch, Antichrist that's going to come, they are going to have their day, and they are going to lead the world into a false sense of peace. Paul says, "When they cry peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction." And God is going to conquer, and God is going to cast them into a lake of fire. And how should we react? Well, that's right. This is your response. This is what Jesus told us to do. We see the convergence, the Antichrist convergence taking place, the world being prepared, the world being excited about the Antichrist showing up. Yeah, Luke 21 and verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And it says when these things begin to take place. And we're there. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus did say we can see the signs, and we can see the signs of the times and know that we're near that time. Mm-hmm. Consciously think about the fact that He is in you. He's around you. He's aware of everything going on. He's watching over you, and that He could come at any moment and take you home. And John says that's the hope that purifies us. And I'm telling you, it's what gets me excited about serving the Lord and keeps me excited about serving the Lord is I know He's here. He's right here with us right now. He's in every one of us as believers. And at any moment, we're not only going to sense His presence, but one of these days, it could be right now before I finish this sentence, we could be in His presence and looking at His face. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.